the Specials podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello everybody, welcome along to the Specials podcast from William Hill. This week we're going to have a look at the new series of Big Brother, maybe a little touch on BBC Sports Personality of the Year, as we tend to most weeks. The Good Morning Britain specials are interesting, and of course we've got Britain's Got Talent. The final is coming up this weekend, and we've got the @reality_twins. @reality_Rob is here. Hello, Rob.
Good morning.
And @reality_Tim's here as well. Tim Booth joined us for a chat about Britain's Got Talent. How are you doing, Tim?
Good, thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me on so I can finally defend myself.
There's no defending needed. I didn't realise that we'd been negative until you tweeted us. It never meant as that. Maybe just a bit of banter, as they call it. Before we get on to Britain's Got Talent, Rob, you traded the opening night of Big Brother last night, as we record this, on Thursday night. The prices, if no one's watched this, this will be pointless, but I'll just run through the names. Pauline is 4-1. She's the elder statesman of the house, the mum of the house, I guess, dance teacher. Winston, 11-2. By the way, that's as far as my knowledge goes.
That was Winston, it. You said you didn't watch it.
I was watching it through the corner of my eye. 6-1, Christopher. Mark is 8-1. Helen's 14-1. Stephen's 14-1. Kimberly, 16-1. Matthew, 16-1. Tamara, 25s. And Danielle, 40s. I could just say, like, any name. Lee is 66-1, Rob 100-1, and Tim is the outsider at 2,500-1.
Now you're being honoured again to him, aren't you? Tim would be very...
Not that Tim.
I would be their favourite.
Yeah, you would, actually.
Tim would be very good contestant.
Have you ever applied to get on, Tim?
No.
Would you? I imagine you'd quite fancy that.
No, I don't think so. I don't want to be, like, stuck in a prison all summer. That's
fair enough. Tim has featured on the
Tim's pretty close to the celebrity one.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah.
They should be paying me.
Give us a quick summary of what happened last
night.
Yeah,
very quick summary.
Lots of annoying people going to the house.
Pretty much. Yeah, whatever you've seen over the last 15 years, pretty much works the same. They've renamed it Big Brother Power Trip this year. So expect the unexpected as normal. I think there'd be quite a lot of sort of tasks. Did a task last night where Pauline, who is his favourite obviously now because she won the task and she's got sort of power of the house, she decided which housemate gets a reward and which housemate gets punished after the first night. They've seem to have changed tack from the sort of wannabes of the previous years. They've got people in who seem to be sort of business manager. It was almost like a rejects from The Apprentice last night. They've got all these people in. Oh well, I'm a business manager,
and
they've got somebody who's made their first million and things like that.
There was one guy, you'll tell me his name, who came on, and he was like, "Yeah, my mum works for me. My dad works for me."
Yeah,
he was like
basically.
Brent.
Yeah, I went up against my mum and dad for a contract and now they work for me and stuff like that. But it was bizarre. So, we can touch on the names and stuff. There's a few I've seen that you'd think have got a chance. Winston, the Essex lad that we've mentioned, 11-2. Christopher, who's a big fan of sort of Katie Hopkins, which might work against him, is 6-1. Mark, who is very... He was in X Factor, was Mark, apparently.
Right.
And... he's 8-1. Helen, I quite like Helen. Helen was the prostitute that slept with Wayne Rooney. Now,
yes.
Based on the idea...
Not the granny one.
Not the granny one.
No, one.
Based on the idea that the winners of these shows are the ones maybe seeking sort of redemption and changing public perception, then I think if I was having any bet on after the first night, maybe Helen at 14-1 has got some mileage in it. But
which was a girl who kind of which is a strange tactic in her VT before she went in. First of all, just said, "Look, I'm not homophobic, but I don't really agree with same sex couples." Who was that? What was her name?
I think that was Danielle. She was the one who said
the outsider. That's fair enough.
She liked God And
believe men and women should
to be quite honest, I don't want people having too much fun, and if they do have too much fun, I'll stop it. Well, we've got a short price for first elimination anyway, so there are another six that go in tonight, so obviously small stakes at the moment, but if I was to have a bet based on those prices, then Helen at 14-1 for me.
Tim, you were out. You got a social life, so you were out. You must be celebrating at that brief preview that Rob just gave.
Well, I don't know. I can't really comment until I've seen it.
Do you have a formula for this show? I mean, we often talk about on this podcast about having formulas for it. I mean, the celebrity one, what Rob described there, I think it can live up to that, can't it? It can be someone who changed the public's perception of them. Jim Davidson's a great example. Do you think there's a formula for the non-celebrity Big Brother?
Well, in the past, it's just been more like who is the nicest person, the least offensive. Yeah, that kind of thing usually carries someone to victory. But with this new power trip theme, the public might go for someone who's a bit more conniving and plotting, to tie in with the theme. But we'll see. Maybe there will be always plotting people, but in the end, the nicest person might still win. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and there's a long way to go in this yet. Let's have a look at Britain's Got Talent, shall we, next? Get on with the final. The Outright has Bars and Melody at 6-5. These are the two young lads who rap and sing and have been bullied and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Plenty of Welsh support behind them from Port Talbot. Collabro, the operatic boy band. Decent enough description, I think. Lucy Kay, 8-1, is another classical singer who wowed us with two performances. We'll talk to Tim about that because Tim's been pretty vocal in his support for Lucy on Twitter. Jack Pack, another boy band, more like a swing boy band, this one, though. Darcy Oak, the Canadian magician, who's got already got a career, basically, in Canada, but thought, I'll just go over to Britain and try it there as well.
A bit more extra cash in.
Yeah, why not? James Smith, singer. Guitar?
Yep, singer guitar.
Pretty much. Lettuce Rowbottom. This is the violinist who has got a fabulous first name, really. Paddy Anico. We didn't think Paddy Anico would make the semi-final, but fair play to Paddy. She pulled out all the stops, looked in absolute agony being chucked around by Anico. This is the older lady and the younger Spanish man dancing, which is a strange one. The Addict Initiative. Tell us about the Addict Initiative,
The Addict
Rob.
Initiative are sort of an evil version of what Spellbound and Diversity were a few years ago. They were probably the surprise act of the 10 that went through. So
John Clegg, 50-1 in the wild card, and Yanis Arno and Mehdi at 200-1. Probably not a lot of point in speaking about those last few. There's no chance that we'll work through these. We'll do it from back to front, if you like. There's no chance any of those three can make it. What about Paddy and Nico? Because when they first came out and we first saw them, Tim, there was a lot of support for them. And although it was an awkward watch in the semi-final, there was still a kind of feeling that, well done, Paddy. You've got out there and done it. As much as she looked like she was in absolute agony. I wonder, have they got any chance of finishing top of the pile, Paddy and Nico?
No, I don't think so. She is injured, so they're not at their best. The first audition was amazing. I think everyone was wowed by that. But, so they pulled out, came back again, and the semi-final routine had to be simplified, I think. So, yeah, we didn't see them at their best. It was uncomfortable to watch. I think by the time we get to the final, I think the novelty will have worn off as well. And also, I kind of think they might have come third in their semi-final because the judges had to vote them through 3-1. Normally, if the act they want through is higher in the vote, they'll go to deadlock for the drama. So, yeah, I don't suspect they did that well in the vote. I'm not giving them much chance at the moment.
Anything to add to that, Rob?
Yeah, quite agree. I mean, they were in the semi-final. They were in the semi-final with Jack Pack last Saturday, and the money that we saw for Jack Pack, despite the fact that Paddy and Nico went off as favourites, it was whatever price you put out, you could go as short as you could on Jack Pack, and they still wanted to back him. I agree with Tim there, but I think they probably did come third, and whether the judges knew or they put them through really on the sympathy vote, but yeah. I think their chances now, they can't really. It's not. It's only a week's difference, isn't it, from the semi final to the final? I can't see it being much improved, because I think she was really, really struggling. Yeah, and they've done enough. I mean, he almost felt it was last chance that they weren't going to do it next year. You could make a case that maybe next year they probably should have pulled out and come back in next year. But
if you think Panionico could get a top three finish, 7-1 for a top three finish, we'll go through some of the match bets a little bit later as well.
That's how far they've dropped, because they were actually shorter to win the whole thing before last Saturday, and now they're 7-1 even just to get a top three.
Lettuce Robotham is the posh violinist, I think the best way to explain it. He's got a kind of an infectious personality, but I can imagine if the Gogglebox sofa were watching that, they'd be quite annoyed by her, a lot of them. 5-1 for a top three finish. I suppose she's likeable. I mean, I find those kind of people quite annoying personally. But Rob, well, any chance of a top three?
Maybe. This is our worst result in the book, is Lettuce, unfortunately, for us. So, I mean, we've seen money from sort of 66-1 down this week, and from 10-1 to 5-1 for the top three. I just don't see, again, didn't win the heat, which is a negative for me. I just don't see sort of the people who are voting going to vote for it. I just think there's better opportunities for Lettuce. I can actually see her getting quite an early slot as well. I don't think she'll be on as early as Yanis, the Addict Initiative, and John Clegg, but I think she'll be on fourth.
Yeah, one of three. You know, I suppose we could kind of lump her in that category again, to classical musicians, if you like. I know she's not, you know, your traditional type, but still amazing that we've got that many in the final. Really, you know, I think I said last week, who knew Britain was such a fan of classical musicians? But I suppose there's a kind of a tradition of that. We've Man in Class, if we all remember, started out as a classical musician.
Well, they had who was the other group? Forgotten the
the girls who were
the girls,
girls who made a good career out of it. Where does Lettuce Robotham finish? Anywhere near the top three, Tim, or is she, as Rob said, is she kind of a padding at the start of the show?
I'm not sure. I think it might depend on running order. As you say, her personality is incredibly infectious. I think she built up a really big following after the auditions. Her first auditions got several million views on YouTube. I think the posh thing probably isn't as much of a negative as it used to be. I think kind of posh people have kind of almost a bit trendy at the moment. You've got, Made in Chelsea, and there's Steph and Dom on Gogglebox as well. They're quite popular. She is amazingly talented. So I think if she had a late slot, I think she would be one to watch for the top three. Her act is really, really good, and it would be suitable for the Queen. But as Rob said, she didn't win a semi-final, so she's got it all for the moment, I think.
Yeah, that's a very fair assessment, as always. Try and get the running order as early as you can, and I'm sure Twitter will be alight with it as soon as it's available. James Smith, a little bit forgettable for me, James Smith. 15-year-old lad with a guitar and singing, 20-1 to win the competition, and only 3-1 for a top three finish. Tim, doesn't really get me going. I don't think there's nothing that I can really latch onto him that makes me want to vote for him.
I like James. I think he's very talented. I think potentially he's got a wide appeal. I think he could appeal to men and women, older people, younger people. But this is the kind of act which is thrown under the bus during the final. And there's been reports in the paper that Psycho don't want to sign him. I think they wanted to sign all of the other musical acts and not him. So I can see him getting an early slot. And this is the type of act which doesn't do well in the final as well. So their percentage, they can go from winning the semi to like fighting it out for last place. I've had a few examples of this act before. There was Ryan O'Shaughnessy, I think his name was, the Irish one. There was another one. God, I can't even remember his name. But they were both, like almost last. So unless they're giving him a late slot, then I don't even think a top three is possible. And I've been laying in the top three, actually.
No chance, is
it? Yeah, it was strange for James Smith, because he seemed to have got the sort of almost the pimp act that they'd thrown Ed Drewitt under the bus in his heat, and they obviously sort of pimped up James to be really good, and it just seems either they didn't want both of them, but they'd rather have had James in the final, it seems. But I suppose, I mean, I know he's carrying Andy Holding's money, which to me always means I should have a bet, but I just think 20-1, it does seem short. I'd probably rather, based on my running order, I'd probably rather back Lettuce at 33s and James at 20.
Darcy Oakes next in the outright betting as we work up towards the favourite, 16-1. For a top three finish, you're looking at 2-1. He's also in a match bet with Paddy and Nico, 1-4 the match bet, 11-4 Paddy and Nico. We had a bit of fun talking about Darcy Oakes, Rob. Tim correctly predicted last week that once he went short, he'd drift back out to around this kind of mark, high teens, maybe 20-1. He'd been around that price. Still right up there in YouTube views, 23 million, I think it is, 26 million now, last check on YouTube. We know about him, good looking lad. Obviously they were kind of teasing about having his shirt off, which he may do in the final, I guess, if he cows down to that. Already got a career in Canada, we know that, and he'll probably come out with something pretty good, because
I still think there's meat on the bones here at 16. Yeah. I just think the fact that the act is a lot different. Mm. I know we've moved on now, we've got a comedian and stuff, but I think that's sort of an under the bus act early on. I still think if Darcy Oak gets a late slot, he's definitely got a chance of getting a top three here. I think once you get near the top, once you get into your Calabro, Lucy K, Jackpot, there's too much similarity. They will have to split the vote, and I still think that Darcy Oak at two to one, you can get bigger because I know I backed it, but I just think there is scope for improvement still. And the fact that while some of these acts, you think, well, they're just going to come on and do that, you know what Paddy and Nico are going to do, you know that Lettuce is going to do a pretty good violin act. I think the scope for improvement with Darcy is a lot higher than some of the others.
Yeah, I mean, that's what drew my attention to in the first place, Tim. The fact that, you know, time and time again, we see on this show that the act is fantastic in the first round. You get to the semi-final, you get a bit tired of it, and you get to the final, it's like, because you've only just seen it sometimes in the semi-final, you're a bit like, you know, do something a little bit different. And he was someone who obviously would have, you know, lots of different avenues to go down, and is well practiced at all of them as well. There's something about him as well, isn't there? I mean, it's just a shame that the 2-1's a little bit short, really, for top three. For a 16-1 shot to win it, I wanted a bit bigger than 2-1, to be fair, on him to finish in the top three.
Yeah, here's something different. He's going to stand out in the final. I think the show went to a lot of effort to secure him. They obviously had people like scouting in Canada, something like that.
Yeah.
I thought his semi-final performance was rubbish, actually.
I agree, I thought it was quite boring.
I thought it was so rubbish. I mean, well, I'm going to give my opinion, but half the performance was just talking, and then the other, when he actually did the trick, it was something which was done last year on the show. There was a guy called James Moore, who didn't get through, did almost exactly the same thing. So I don't know why everyone's going crazy about Darcy when
something about him, I think, isn't there? Maybe it's his look, maybe it's cool, isn't he? He kind of fits into that David Blaine kind of thing, doesn't he, where there's a bit of mystique about him almost, I guess. The fact that he is foreign actually plays into that hand, doesn't it? It's almost like, oh yeah, he's a bit mysterious.
He is, but I still think he'd be shorter if he was a UK act. Yeah. I still think there's a sort of anti foreigner act based on attraction last year, but saying that, if a attraction were going to win, whether they were from England or out of Mongolia. So
I mean, to be honest, I've obviously been a supporter of his from the outside. I just want a magician to win the show. I love magicians. But now we've got to the final. There's something about him. I don't quite see him having enough to win it.
It's probably not enough. He needs to be on very late in the running order. And to be quite honest, there's a couple up there that I think are the chosen. I think there's two acts definitely that I think Cal will want to push. So I can't see him being any higher up the running order than maybe third or fourth last on.
Yeah, I think he can get a top three, though. I really do.
Can he sneak a top three?
I think so.
The running order, he's going to have to get it with the running order, because I can't see him getting it if he's on anywhere in the first sort of seven or eight. Sorry,
I think top three is going to be quite difficult, actually, because he didn't win his semi-final. So in theory, there were already five acts ahead of him, you know, for that top three. But it is possible. I think if he gets a late running order, I would probably back him for top three. But in terms of winning the show, I really don't think the producers would want a foreign act winning 2 years in a row, which is my main problem with Darcy anyway. Yeah, my other problem is that the act itself, I don't think magic is something which inspires votes in the same way that singing and dancing does. I don't think, it's not as emotional. I think people will be amazed and, you know, wonder how he's done it, but it won't attract votes in the same numbers as like a singing group.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
We haven't got access to the phone votes, obviously, until after the show, but could it be the fact that Dousey was on Bank Holiday Monday, he actually got more votes than some of the acts that actually went through?
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, going back to Tim's point about, you know, there were five above him, I suppose now they're all in the same pot together. We'll come on to this debate as to whether acts take votes off each other in a second, but yeah, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how he gets on. Again, running order all important. Jack Pack 10-1, the fourth favourites, a swing boy band. Again, I mean, I didn't really. I mean, I like Calabro. I think they've got something a bit different about them. I didn't really take to Jack Pack that much, Tim. The 10-1 to win the show, which seems unlikely, and only 6-4 to finish in the top three. Two boy bands, then, pretty different boy bands. But let's get into that question: do similar acts take votes off each other in the final?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I think with Jack Pack and Calabro, they are different enough. They will split a vote somewhat, but I think they're both different enough to do well. With Jack Pack, I think they're an inferior version of Calabro. Mm. But they're a favoured act. They won the fifth semi-final, which has got a really strong record of getting acts in the top three or to win. Attraction won semi-final five last year and obviously went on to win the show. Jack Pack are a favoured act and the show wants to sign them. They've made that clear. But in their semi-final, the staging was only average. If you compare it to Calabro staging, Calabro had like a space theme and stars and lights. Jack Pack were just like standing there and they had their name on the backdrop, which was a rip-off of one that Rough Copy had on X Factor last year. So,
what, did you reckon it was left over in the behind the scenes at ITV?
Yeah, literally just changed
a few letters. It's
fantastic. I can imagine that production meeting. We need something for Jack Pack, and then someone goes, "Do you know what? I was walking past the storage cupboard the other day, and that Rough Copy sign's still there.
Yeah,
let's use that. That's probably what happened. Believe it or not. Fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if Jack Pack are going to be thrown under the bus. In order to boost Calabro. But having said that, I could see them both doing well. And I think Jack Pack are possible for the top three, but not to win. Mm. I'll have to wait and see what running order they're given.
Yeah, indeed. Any thoughts, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, Jack Pack probably were the main benefactors from Paddy and Nico's poor performance last Saturday, weren't they? Would they have, if Paddy and Nico produced the polished performance that they had in the first audition, would they have qualified us? They probably would have won the thing. I just, Jack Pack, 25-1 they were before that semi-final, 10-1 now. I just think the producers will want, basically, I just think they want Calabro to win over the two.
Yeah.
So I think Calabro will get the later running order. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Calabro were on last, to be quite honest, tomorrow night.
Fair
so,
enough.
No, not Jack Pack for me.
They're in a match bet on the specials pages with Lucy K, 4-6 Lucy K, Jack Pack 11-10 to finish higher on the night. Lucy K is the third favourite, 8-1. We've had a bit of fun on Twitter with Tim about Lucy K. You've been a big supporter from early on at big prices. Tim. Obviously, she's a fantastic voice. She had the kind of backstory of being bullied, and she moved up to Scotland. You could hardly say it's kind of Jai McDowell type support. One of the papers picked it up last week in Scotland. She's obviously English, but has moved up there. Are you still as sweet on Lucy Kay as you were?
Yeah, pretty much. The Scottish thing is, and it's naturally one of the reasons why I'm so hot on her. I've got a whole host of reasons why I've been backing her, and I should probably tell you now. I think she's the most talented contestant on the show. From all the semi-final performances, I thought hers was the best. I thought she was amazing. I thought she would be good. Her audition was good, but I didn't think she'd be as stunning as she was. So she's the most talented contestant for me. She was prominent in episode one of the auditions. And most of the time on X Factor and Britain's Got Talent, they front load the auditions. All the best and the most favoured acts get put in the first audition show. And Lucy's slot in the first audition show, it was kind of like towards the end, two-thirds of the way through the show, which is where Attraction appeared last year. So I think it's obvious they want her to do well and get to the final, possibly top three. But with her backstory as well, yeah, you've mentioned the bullying thing. That's pretty pretty big. People are going to latch onto that. But also, what struck me with Lucy is that they featured her mum quite a lot in her VTs. So in the audition VT, they showed her mum telling her, she's had a terrible life, terrible upbringing. She's gone through a lot. And then again in the semi-final, her mum was featured again, and they were shown together on a park bench, you know, talking, and she was saying, oh yeah, this would mean so much to me if Lucy does well. I just want the best for Lucy, you know. But this is the kind of thing that people are going to buy into, because in my opinion, these shows are won by the mum vote. I think to win the show, you know, you have to appeal to a wide range of people, but the most important one to appeal to is the mums. So, you know, the mum vote can, you know, win or lose the show for, for anyone, really. I think the voters are going to identify with this mum-daughter backstory. She's got an amazing USP. The staging for her performance was incredible. The lighting was really good. The space backdrop was really pretty. It's obvious the show wants to sign her. There's a massive gap in the market as well. I think Catherine Jenkins was dropped from her record label last year, I think it was. Charlotte Church obviously doesn't do opera anymore. And they've also done a bit of switching around with her from the semi-finals as well. Originally, she was supposed to be on Saturday, so I hear, but they switched her to Wednesday because of stuff with Paddy and Nico. She had the easiest possible semi-final to get through. I think the competition in her semi was Yanis Marshall. I think the Queen would love her. I think quite a big part of the voting in the final is whether or not the Queen would like the act. And I think, obviously, the Queen would love Lucy. You might get the judges saying, I think the Queen would love you. Or in her VPs, you might say, I would love to perform for the Queen, that kind of thing. The song that she's performing, I don't know for sure what it is, but I've got a hint. I think there's this one opera song called Unbell di Vedremo, I think it is. Lucy stated on Twitter Q&A that this was her favourite song. And it's kind of like a semi-well-known opera song, I think. Opera people will know it, and maybe some like other people, but you know, it's not the most famous of songs. I think, sorry to be going on a bit, I think Lucy's possibly heading for the top three, but the one thing that worries me is that she's quite low on some of the polls, like the Digital Spy and Telemix. So I think she's kind of being for top three rather than the winner, but I think with the right treatment she could definitely win.
Yeah, we've talked about YouTube figures, haven't we, on a similar subject there, Robert, during this series, and she's very low, like 500,000 views compared to obviously the favourites in the market who've got over 30 million, and even Darcy Oak, who I mentioned 26 million. I know it's not everything, but it shows that there's a general liking or general popularity out there.
I just don't get Lucy Kay. I don't know why. I write down her positives, but then I can see a negative. I can see the fact that she's a fantastic singer, not doubting that, but then they've got Calabro. She gets bullied. I get that, but then they've got Bowers and Melody to deal with the bullying. Every day I can see Tim's point, and that's fine, but I just can't see... I don't know, I just don't see the fact that she's down in the polls. There's no real YouTube views to speak of. I think she's the one. I'll probably get it wrong, but I just think she's the one.
You were convincing me then until you said that.
No, but out of the top four or five in the betting, I think she's the one I want to be taking on at this stage.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I've got it wrong before, and Tim's got it right a lot more times than I've probably got it wrong. So... 8-1, the price is there.
11-8 for top three. I can see why that would be attractive.
She's fighting with Jack. I think that the top two are probably, whether the right order is going to be, will prove soon. But I think she is fighting it out with Jack Pack for that third spot. And to be quite honest, it wouldn't surprise me. She's got a few things in her favour, as I said, the mum act and everything just might squeeze over third. I'd rather take her as third than Jack Pack anyway.
Calabro are the second favourites at 9-4. This is the kind of classical boy band, if you like. And one act, Rob, I think, you know, Tim was just talking there about the Queen would like Lucy Kay. I think for me, they are the act that fit into the prize best. I think they would. The music they perform is fantastic. It's got that real, not only is it classical, but it's got a real kind of drive about it and a real uplifting feel to it. I think that would fit perfectly in a Royal Variety performance.
Yeah, definitely. I think that as Tim mentioned, I mean they were in the first audition as well on that night, and they obviously got the decent slot, the pimp slot on the Monday, the bank holiday for the semi-final, so he's done everything he can to get them into the final, and it wouldn't surprise me if they sing Laust in the final as well tomorrow night. So I mean, they're the alternative to me for Bowser Melody. If you like that sort of thing, you're gonna vote for Two Kids with a Story to Tell, or you're gonna vote for what I would see as a genuine Royal Variety act. And I think at 9-4, I'd certainly rather back them than Bowser Melody, really any other act.
Yeah, 2-9, they are to be top three. Yeah, so I mean,
it's 2-2. They are going to, if they're not on Laust, they're going to be on next to Laust. So,
yeah.
I think at 2-9, not saying it is buying money, but I think the price is what it is. And I think 2-9 that you will be collecting come Saturday night.
Yeah, 9-4. I don't mind that at all, Tim. If I was having a bet right now, I think that would be my bet, Calabro at 9-4 to win it.
Yeah. I completely agree. I actually think Calabro are going to win. I think they're the most likely winners. They were put together by the show, and Psycho really likes these groups that they put together themselves. So One Direction and Little Mix were put together on X Factor. Now they've got one that they've put together on Britain's Got Talent. I think, they were in audition show one, and semi-final one often has the Plan A act in the pimp slots. And we've seen, well, Ashley and Pudsey were in semi-final one, Spellbound, Diversity were in semi-final one. The record of acts from the first semi-final is amazing, and the ratings were a lot higher on semi-final one than for any other semi.
So Darcy Oak's going to win.
What?
It's because Darcy was on, Tim.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. Well, you know, Calabro beat Darcy.
Yeah, so whatever.
It's quite possible they will have received the most votes out of all the semi-finals. Mm-hmm. The staging was perfect. Yeah, as you say, it's really suitable for the Queen, and I think people are going to be voting for that reason. And they've got such wide appeal. There's mums, grands, probably even some teenage girls that are going to be voting for them. They've also been name-checked as the winners already. If you notice from the judges' comments, Amanda said, I think you could be the winners of Britain's Got Talent, and they didn't say that to anyone else. I think top three is absolutely certain, and I agree with Rob, they might get the pimp slot. The only problem for me is that they don't really seem to have a backstory other than that they were put together by the show and they all have normal jobs. Yeah. You know, they're all working class, supposedly. We don't really know their names either, but no. There are only three rounds on Britain's Got Talent, so it's not really, you know, long enough to get to know them individually. But for me right now, I actually think that they're most likely to win.
Yeah, and as we've seen, I think you're alluding to it there, as we've seen in past years, you know, with, well, last year's winner, we don't really need to know them, did we? We were just blown away by the act. I say we as a nation, I opposed them right up until the final minute. we'll discuss Bowser and Melody then, the outright favourites at 6-5. I was dubious whether they could repeat their success and the reaction they got in the semi-final that they did in the first audition. But to be fair, they got a standing ovation in the semi-final as well, and did pretty well, Rob, didn't they? They're just not I don't know why. I just don't take to them the way everyone else seems to have it. And I just can't have them at 6-5.
No, I can see why they're favourites. They've obviously the Twitter views have gone mental at them over the last few days, and I think there'd be a massive online support for them. It may not reflect in polls. That the ones I've seen, that they're definitely up there in the polls, but I don't know, man. What is there, 30 million views?
30.5 million
plenty, views on YouTube. Yeah, it's not too bad. I just think they're a little bit too short in the betting now. I'd like to have backed them at sort of 3-4-1 that they were prior to the semi-final. Actually, they weren't. I think they were 7-4 after the semi-final, and it's tended to sort of steamroll. I'm quite happy to take them on. There was probably the second worst result behind Lettuce, but I don't know. I mean, it all depends how they're dressed up almost on the day. Are they dressed up as these two lads that have sort of fought the bullies and everything, and this is one for the country against all the bullies and all the nasty people in the world? Or are they going to be are they actually going to put all the eggs in the Calabro basket and say this Calabro are a genuine act that we would like to take to the Royal Variety? And I've got a sneaky feeling that Bowes and Melody are one of these that probably could are going to do pretty well without winning the show. And I don't think they need the show to get the success and any spin-off after the show, while I still feel that Calabro probably need to win.
Yeah, I get that. The one thing they have got, and we know this is crucial, Tim, because you know the Scottish thing was one of the reasons that drew you to Lucy Kay. They've got, you know, well, one of the lads, Leandre, has got a Welsh vote behind him. I think the other lad is from South Gloucestershire, so not a million miles away. They'll get a strong geographical support, won't they?
Yeah, possibly. I've got loads of problems with Bowes and Melody, actually. So
Tim bullied one of them. That's where it all started from.
No, they're bullying me. I think their talent is only average. I think there's been a massive hype.
Yeah, true.
The fact that they're Simon's golden buzzer, propelled them to favourite status. I don't think they'd be favourites if they were David's golden buzzer. I think rapping doesn't go down very well with a voting audience. I think that is it Leandre, the rapper? I think he's very cocky and overconfident. He also raps in an American accent. They went to America, actually.
They were on Oprah.
Ellen show.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah,
amazing. That's amazing, isn't it?
I think the act would go a lot better in America than it does here. I think the act would... I can understand. I mean, America's Got Talent. They've had a few sort of rappers up in the sort of top three and four, haven't they? So
yeah, that sort of music is way more mainstream in America than it is over here. The last act to go to America, actually, on this show was Susan Boyle, and she obviously didn't win, because the impression there was that she'd already made it.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I wonder if the same thing is going to happen with Bowes and Melody. Mm. I think out of the few favourites, I think Bowes and Melody is the act which is most unsuitable for the Queen. I think people will watch it and go, oh, yeah, this is good, this is nice. But, you know, the Queen's not going to like this. The Queen's going to want Lucy Kay or Calabro or whoever. They're also on in semi-final four, which is definitely active. People have been voting, you know, all week. Semi-final one would have the highest number of votes, the highest number of viewers. They also had a late audition show as well. I think they were shown the same night as Eurovision, the 10th of May. The show had been going for several weeks before that, and if they really wanted Bowes and Melody to win, they would have put them on the first or the second audition show. But having said that, they did a lot to help them in the semi-final. I thought the song choice was genius. It was the Puff Daddy version of I'll Be Missing You. It's like one of the biggest songs of the 90s. They did a lot to make them more middle of the road and, you know, mainstream friendly. So I wonder what song they'll be given in the final. I backed them to win as soon as I found out that Paddy and Nico had pulled out, in inverted commas, before coming back. Not the worst result for me if they win. I just don't think that they will. I think Calabro or Lucy are probably more likely winners for me.
There's a special market that Rob's put out, which is Bowes and Melody versus The Field. So you can take everyone else at 8 to 13. Bowes and Melody are 6-5 in that one. I think we're pretty much all agreed on that in the studio here, Rob.
I just think they're too short. I can understand why the price is what it is. I think at 6-5, I'd rather take them on with Calabro, yep, or even Darcy. Lucy.
What's your go on? Let's all have one bet. So we haven't had a bet yet. Let's pretend that, and we're having one bet now, Rob, from the William Hill specials pages.
One bet, Calabro 94.
Yep. God, I wasn't have that.
Oh, right, I'll have Darcy Oak. Darcy Oak 16-1 each way.
No, you have Calabro 94. What are you going for, Tim?
Are you doing each way, Rob?
We're not doing each way.
Yeah,
I just thought, for podcast purposes, I'd put up an each way.
Dear me.
You could do the single and then you could do the top three, couldn't you? You could make your own each way.
The top three looks very short at 2-1. That's the only thing that put me off. The top three prices might be a bit bigger by the time the podcast comes on, but Darcy Oak, maybe Darcy Oak top three. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to go for Calabro to win as well. Mm-hmm. That would be my one bet.
Because
Rob has kind of already said it, I would say Lucy top three at odds against. I think is a really good value bet.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's what I'll be shortening when I get upstairs.
Yeah. And I think, well, look, let's be honest here, we all like that Calabro 9-4, so it kind of gets... It's not often that we all agree on whatever podcast we're doing, so I think we all like that. And I think taking on Bars and Melody, you know, effectively, you know, laying them with the field is a nice way in. But I'm gonna stick by my guns. I've done it all the way through the series, so let's just say Darcy Oak to win the whole thing. You know what I mean? I'm not a turncoat. Yeah. I'll stick with it and go for a surprise. I mean, if that comes off at 16-1, it's double the price it was when I first put it up at 9.
Maybe in the match bet, Calabro to beat Bowles and Melody at 6-5 is maybe a little bit going to go that way.
Yeah,
if you want.
I've had Calabro in that match bet actually.
I can see that. Yeah, definitely. Let's have a very quick word on a couple of the markets, Robert. Any movement in the BBC Sports Personality?
We talked about
Gareth Bale last week. Hasn't really moved much, has he?
No. Carl Froch was the big mover from his fight 66-1 into 16-1 after knocking out George Graves in the eighth round.
Yeah, can't really. I mean, unfortunately, I'd love Carl Froch to win it. I'm a massive fan of his and boxing, but I think he needs
to fight again.
He's not that well liked.
He's had his payday. It wouldn't surprise me if he retires now. Anyway, whether he gets in on a sort of a regional vote, sort of Nottinghamshire, I can't really see it. Next update, Andy Murray.
Yeah.
Obviously, semi-final of the French Open today as we're recording. 9-1 from 16-1 early in the week. And there's a Grand Prix again, so Lewis Hamilton, if he wins, will probably be shorter than 6-4.
Can you not put his car on the list, please?
What, Mercedes?
Just put the car instead of him.
It's a German car, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, so we can't have that, can we? The loads of other markets, the X Factor on there, the next James Bond, music specials, weather specials, the Turner Prize, Who Killed Lucy Beale, and some royal specials on there as well. Thanks for your time, Rob.
Pleasure.
Tim, thanks for your time. It's been a pleasure having you on, and some great reasoning, great arguments on there as to why people should have some bets and stay clear of others on Britain's Got Talent. So thanks for all that.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. You can follow Tim on Twitter. It's reality_Tim on all manner of things in terms of special betting and TV betting. He's pretty much across all of it. Rob's at reality_Rob. I'm at Lee Phelps. I'm away for a few weeks now, so I might do it from Brazil. I might not.
What's the time delay? It's about
four hours. So, you know, it's doable. But you might find Dave Keller in this chair.
That'd be fantastic.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
As well.
Thanks to Tim. Thanks to Rob. And thanks to you for downloading the podcast. You can get it at audioboo.fm as well. You can also subscribe via iTunes. If you're having a bet on any of the markets that we've discussed this week, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.